Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the show. Today, we're talking about stimulus to fatigue ratio in CrossFit. So I'm going to go over the various types of stimuli that you can get from training for CrossFit, the two different types of fatigue, and then go through examples for how you can maximize your stimulus to fatigue ratio, or SFR, in your training. So there are three stimuli that you can get from training for CrossFit: strength, conditioning, and skill. To start with strength, the mechanisms here, you can recruit more motor units, you can inhibit your GTO, or you can induce hypertrophy, thus giving you larger muscles that have a greater potential to produce force. So outcomes from this: you can handle larger loads without encountering the muscle's inability to supply the necessary force. All movements in that pattern that you're training will require lower percentage of 1RM, produce fewer waste products, and become more repeatable, so higher work rates. Examples of this are top sets, so strength sets, and accessory work. Next, we have conditioning. Mechanisms here: you can increase your rate of metabolite clearance in the muscle, you can increase your maximum metabolite tolerance if you're doing high intensity conditioning, you can increase the relative contribution of your oxidative metabolism, so less anaerobic, more aerobic, and you can increase your sustainable power output, so you can increase your lactate threshold and your critical power. You'll be able to handle higher work rates without encountering the muscle's maximum metabolite tolerance. Contractions become more repeatable, so you can sustain higher work rates for longer. Examples of this type of training are intervals, Metcons, or zone 2. So the primary intention of those sessions is to improve your conditioning. Third and finally, we have skill. So mechanisms here are a little more complex. It's sort of a combination of peripheral and central mechanisms, but you have stretch strengthening as a mechanism that can allow you to access greater range of motion around your joints, and less tension in the muscles will then be required to accomplish the work. So you can do more work faster with fewer metabolites. Also, you'll get fewer lower tension unnecessary contractions. So when you watch a beginner do a snatch or do a muscle up, they're contracting so many things and muscles that they don't need to accomplish the work. Whereas when you watch Brent Fikowski do a ring muscle up, it's like, yeah, that is literally like the minimum amount of mechanical work that needs to be done to accomplish the work requirement, which is a lot of the goal of skill training. So when you do skill training, you're able to perform skills at a lower RPE and the contractions become more repeatable. Examples of this are your warm-ups are often skill work. Tempo work is often related to that stretch strengthening mechanism. Non-fatigued gymnastics, so you're really sensitive to errors and really sensitive to if you're doing extra work that you don't need to be doing. And light, moderate, non-fatigued weightlifting. So this is reps in probably the 30 to 60% range that are pretty easy perceptually, but you're doing lots of them and you are getting more efficient at the snatch and clean and jerk. So those are the three stimuli. So your training will induce one of those three stimuli or a combination of those three stimuli to a certain degree, low, moderate, or high. It will also induce one of two types of fatigue. There are two types of fatigue, central and peripheral. Central fatigue really comes down to perturbations in neurochemistry. That causes a decrease in the voluntary activation of muscles. This is the classic loss of drive to exercise. So if you've ever had that feeling of your desire to train being in the tank, or that feeling of pushing the pedal down and the car just won't go, that is probably central fatigue. Examples of this are axial loading. So you do a set of heavy deadlifts or a set of heavy squats, and then you just don't want to do anything else. You can't really point to a peripheral sign of fatigue in the muscle itself. You just don't want to do anything. Loss of drive to exercise. Sleep deprivation is another example. Sleep deprivation produces central fatigue. So that's central fatigue. Peripheral fatigue is related to the working muscles. So this can be soft tissue damage, disruption to the muscle fibers themselves, or to the connective tissue connected to the muscle fibers, sore knees, sore shoulders, and then that causing pain that causes restraint in training. This can also be depletion of fuel substrates, mainly muscle glycogen in CrossFit. And every program is going to produce a certain amount of stimuli in exchange for a certain amount of fatigue. In general, the bigger the stimulus, the bigger the fatigue. So the game is not to eliminate fatigue. It's not to completely not have any fatigue in your program, because then your stimulus is probably going to be pretty weak. The goal is to approach the athlete's maximum fatigue tolerance in an undulating way. So you're approaching that, and then you're backing off from that, and you're approaching that, and you're backing off from that. And there's a lot of learning as far as the maximum fatigue tolerance that an individual has. And there's sort of an art in individualization and designing programs that are going to bring individuals to that brink and then back them off, and then bring them to that brink and back them off. So the best program is going to maximize the stimuli that will produce the biggest gain in CrossFit performance while approaching fatigue to that maximum in an undulating way that the athlete can recover from. So maximize the stimuli that will produce the biggest gains. That's key, because if you're prioritizing the wrong stimulus, most commonly if you're prioritizing conditioning at the expense of your strength and your skill, which is probably the most common reason that CrossFit athletes don't progress as fast as they could for a lot of reasons, and I'll do another episode on that. But regardless, prioritizing the right stimuli is super, super important. Okay, so what are some examples from this? How can you maximize the SFR in your program? So example one is pistols. So you can have fast pistols in the program where you're doing a functional volume of pistols, anywhere from 60 to 180 reps of pistols in a workout as fast as you can. This is probably going to produce a conditioning stimulus of some kind. It's also going to produce high peripheral fatigue. What I mean by that is the tissue damage, both to the muscles and mainly to the connective tissue, because of the amount of torque on the knee due to the amount of forward knee travel, and just supporting your entire body weight on one leg and doing that for as many reps as you need to be prepared to compete in CrossFit. That produces a really high amount of peripheral fatigue, so a really high amount of soft tissue damage in exchange for a conditioning stimulus. Okay, so that's what you get when you do fast pistols. Now, what we've found clinically and personally is when you do tempo pistols or tempo single leg work with full ranges of motion, you get a strength and a skill stimulus with much less peripheral fatigue. Still some peripheral fatigue. Remember, the goal is not to completely eliminate fatigue, but if we're getting a conditioning stimulus in exchange for high peripheral fatigue, we could get a conditioning stimulus for much less peripheral fatigue with, say, the assault bike, and then do tempo pistols, which give us a strength and a skill stimulus with much less, much more moderate peripheral fatigue. So that is the approach that I take with my athletes. And we have found that doing pistol progressions with tempo, things like Poliquin split squats all the way from front foot elevated, the very, very easy, three sets of 10, to foot on the floor, to loaded, to assisted pistols, to all the way to weighted tempo pistols, and getting their conditioning stimuli in through other ways, other modalities that don't produce as much peripheral fatigue, and their joints are much happier, and they are really, really good at pistols when it's time to do them fast. Not that we don't do them at all, but we really only dose them about 3 weeks out from the competition is when we start doing fast pistols, just to build confidence with them. But as far as getting really good at them, doing fast pistols turns out is not a ton of stimulus in exchange for a very high fatigue cost. Whereas you could do tempo pistols and combine it with another conditioning modality, get really great stimulus and much lower fatigue. Next example, GHD sit-ups. So this is a really similar concept that I've been experimenting with this year. GHD sit-ups are notorious for producing an incredible amount of muscle soreness, delayed onset muscle soreness in the hip flexors and abs. So very, very high peripheral fatigue. Now, you could just do fast GHD sit-ups all the time and get sort of a conditioning stimulus, sort of a strength stimulus, sort of a skill stimulus, hard really to define there, but with a really high peripheral fatigue. Now, you could exchange that for tempo GHD sit-ups. And I've been combining these with other core exercises, especially V-ups, the closer we get to quarterfinals. So like 5 sets of 10 tempo GHD sit-ups immediately into max unbroken V-ups, no pausing, rest, do another set of tempo GHD sit-ups, you get the idea. That stimulus is not going to be a conditioning stimulus at all. It's going to be much more a strength and a skill stimulus for much less peripheral fatigue, because we're able to control the progression more closely and we're not getting that huge spike in peripheral fatigue that you typically get from fast GHD sit-ups. Finally, we have an actual workout example. So open 24.3, which was moderate to heavy thrusters and bar muscle-ups. The stimulus there is mainly a conditioning stimulus. You're getting a huge amount of accumulation of metabolites in the muscle fibers, depleting muscle glycogen, very high peripheral and pretty considerable central fatigue as well from that workout. Now, instead, you compare that to the combination of tempo front squats, weighted pull-ups, followed by assault bike intervals. So we're changing the stimulus. We're separating out the stimulus into essentially three separate strength, skill, conditioning stimuli instead of combining them all at once in this really stressful dose. And in exchange for that, we lower the fatigue. We get moderate peripheral fatigue and moderate central fatigue. Now, I'm not saying there's never a time to simulate open workouts. My clients who are competing in quarterfinals are simulating every weekend now, and they have been for the last couple weekends. And that's really to build confidence. But when we think about maximizing the return on our training time, maximizing stimulus and keeping the fatigue manageable so that the athlete can actually recover from it, not burn out of the sport, and train for this sport for multiple years and optimize their long-term development and competitive outcomes, then moderate fatigue is generally going to be preferable to the really, really high fatiguing stuff that I described before. So that's it for today, guys. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being here. If you're on a podcast platform, please rate the podcast, share it with a friend. If you're watching on YouTube, please like and subscribe. And I will see you guys in the next episode.